combination of all the hard work I've put in and all the sweat and blood, and you know, it's a time where I can sit back and go, you know, I'm so appreciative of the chance to play in an MLS Cup final. You know, it's 3 years ago I got a chance to watch it with DC United, and you know, I was there, and you know, I got to see Houston play LA there in the StubHub Center, and I thought to myself, man, you know, what an atmosphere, what an environment, what a, you know, great stage to play at. And you know, here I am, you know, 3 years later with the chance to play.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to the pod. How we doing? Hump day, everybody. And it's a weird day in the week because you have Premier League games midweek here. I don't understand that. You got Arsenal playing at 2:45 East Coast time. We got them in a little bit. City's playing today. You had United play Stoke yesterday. QPR.
Tottenham right now.
Yeah, Chelsea Tottenham right now. Costa's out for that game because he's an idiot. I dropped him for my fantasy team.
I dropped him for Aguero, so.
See, I had Aguero and I had Costa. You know who I picked up?
Who?
Unsung hero of the year, really, I think. I think he could be a huge fantasy guy.
Let me guess. Mourinho from West Brom?
Wilfred Bonny. I already have Mourinho.
Okay.
So I've got Mourinho, Aguero, Barahino on the bench. That's how they say it in England. I don't know why. They don't pronounce the H's, that's why. Yaya in the midfield with Hazard. Let's see, let's pull it up here.
I know my team only registered 23 points because Di Maria went off in, like, what, the 16th minute?
Wanyama, Sigurdsson, Chadli. I got Cahill, Wisdom in the back line, Ryan Shawcross, and then Foster in the net. Wisdom's the future, man. Wisdom, Andre Wisdom, he's on loan from Liverpool.
Yeah.
I compare him to Andrew Farrell.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Just a body.
I see the way they run, too. Like, they have the same physique. You know who's going to be a sleeper?
Who?
And, call me biased for being an Arsenal man, but Santi Cazorla, ever since Jack Wilshere's been out.
He's not fantasy points, though. No, that's the thing. On the field, he's good, but, like, in terms of numbers, I'm like, I'm thinking Yaya, a guy that got over 220 points last year. Stud. Eden Hazard's good.
For a sleeper pick, not somebody that you think I would pick him up this week when they I think they're counting what it looks like the Stoke City match. So I think they're
counting everything. The game week started. The deadline was yesterday to get your team in, and then you got another one this weekend.
Oh, so these points are going towards the points from last weekend, I believe.
No. These points are going towards actually the points for this weekend. So the points from today go towards this weekend.
Okay.
They carry over into this Saturday. That's how that works. Not to confuse anybody out there that does the EPL Fantasy League on the Premier League website. The points for Tuesday and Wednesday carry over into this weekend, and then when the new week starts on Monday, that's when you go into game week 15. Because now we're 14/38 of the way through the year.
Yeah. And I just think that Santi could be a sleeper because I think he should be starting more.
But is Arsenal going to get clean sheets? They're not going to get clean sheets.
They could.
Are they going to start scoring goals? Who's going to score for them?
Right. Sanchez can't do it by himself.
Right. You know what I mean? Assist numbers are huge. I think that's an underrated stat. And I think 90 minutes is an underrated stat. But who's going to score for Arsenal? That's the problem. Yeah. You have nobody that's going to score.
And nobody opened
up the game up top.
And you got, I mean, I think they have the creativity to open up games up top. I just think they're so susceptible on the counter. The counter is just a live option for any team that plays Arsenal, which is why Southampton's going to scare me today. Because the likes of Victor Wanyama in the midfield can definitely open up a counter attack on Arsenal very easily. But, I mean, Ross Barkley is another one, too, that I've been waiting for him to open up soon, because he was all over the match against Tottenham. He was everywhere. He was every part of their attack. They look for him every time when they have the ball. It's Ross, right. Find Ross, find his feet, because he creates everything.
And that's another team that doesn't have much up top in the striker position as well.
Lukaku's nothing. He's not what he was last year.
No, that's another thing. Like, there's all this hype about Roberto Martinez and like how good he could be with Everton and what that potential is, but I don't see it. That's the thing. I don't know if I really trust what they're, and it's not because that Roberto Martinez is a bad manager, and I don't think he's got the right system in place.
He just doesn't have the right tools.
He doesn't have the right mechanics to work with. The guys, Tim Howard's on his way out. He's getting much older. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to even blame. This isn't even a goalkeeping thing. This is, okay, you don't have your defense is not healthy, especially your two outside backs, Seamus Coleman and
Leighton Baines.
Mm-hmm. And then you have you don't have the best center backs in the world, I don't think.
Jagielka and Distan, no, they're Phil Jagielka is old. He's the England center back, but look where England got with him. Nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, England hasn't been
anything.
except, you know, even though, you know, Mariner was talking about, they're not impressive. They're not exciting to watch.
They're boring England, and it's just but the young talent that's coming through, like the likes of Ross and Jack Wilshere, if he can stay healthy for maybe a month.
Did you see the stats on him, by the way, for how many games he's missed, how many games he's actually played, how many weeks he was out?
I don't really want to like see
Sky
them.
Sports is just as good as Elias.
Yeah, they've got the comparison stats and all that stuff. But yeah, Jack, he's never going to be the same again because his ankles are just going to be torn up. Yeah. The ligament injuries that he's gotten is just. That changes your career.
And whenever he gets back into the field, it never feels like Arsenal gets into that consistency because he's always working himself back into it. He never gets his game back in check, if you will.
And there will be always that one or two odd games where it's like, oh, that's the Jack we missed. That's the Jack Wilshere. Yeah. And I look at a player also, if we're going to keep touching on Arsenal, Aaron Ramsey's just gassed.
Another guy that's always hurt?
Yeah. He's gassed. He's. I think he has too much weight on his shoulders. Too much pressure. He feels like he has to do more than he does. But of someone like Santi and Alexis will obviously help out as well. But I look at a player who hasn't seen any minutes, and like Thomas Rzeki is a great utility player. Why can't you factor him into the team? And we still don't have a holding midfielder. Mikel Arteta will never be a holding midfielder ever in his life. And Mathieu Flamini's too old for that role. So they need to go out and find someone like Sami Khedira, who just picked up a concussion, I guess. Another guy who can't stay healthy. So the Arsenal are in some deep trouble right now. Arsene Wenger said it on SoccerNet. In the next 3 years, we'll win a title. We don't want to wait 3 years. Granted, that's not the message he was saying. But like, it's
you're
just your philosophy.
Of winning within that window.
We need to be capable of winning now. And that's what people expected after
the
preseason.
You're not going to beat Chelsea, though. You can't
Who's
beat
gonna
be Who's
going to
be? I think City will. I think City's the only team that can contend. And I think the fact that City's starting to get hot now spells trouble for two different entities. The fact that, first off, you were able to pull off that win, and I'm not trying to get into a pole big City rant here, but the fact that, you know, and I'm just trying to expose why I think they're going to be the only team to beat Chelsea for the title. And it's because they've got Yaya playing better now. Yaya is a huge key to that lock that opens up the door to so many goals for Manchester City. And he just creates so many goals from it. Think about what Lee Wynn would be like on steroids. And then you've got Yaya Touré.
Yeah, that's a good comparison of two.
And
key
Lee Wynn's pretty damn
teams.
Good.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to elevate it to the world class top 20, and you wanted to talk, and because that's where Yaya is. If you wanted to elevate it to that level, and a guy that's playing on the Premier League championship team who contends consistently for Europe, well, that's Yaya Touré. And the fact that he's doing that now for Manchester City, getting guys like Sergio Aguero more involved, helping out the fact that City doesn't have the deepest of strikers. That's another thing. You know, City's got strikers, not very good ones.
Yeah. I mean, Dzeko, when's his estimated
He's on
return?
A hamstring injury. I think that's 6 to 8 weeks, I think I saw.
That's a big loss. I mean, Jovetic, granted, he's a decent player, but he's nothing of Aguero's quality or Dzeko's quality. Right. So, and I'm looking right now at the lineups for Chelsea and Tottenham, and I'll give some credit to Tottenham. Believe it or not, I'm giving credit to Tottenham for something. They've been in good form in the last couple of weeks. So I who knows? Maybe they can sneak one on Chelsea today. I mean, stranger things have happened, right, Tom? Who knows? It's at Stamford Bridge, which is going to be
where Jose Mourinho's only lost once is in his entire career in the Premiership.
Yeah, I mean. It's a London derby. So
not North London derby.
Yeah, no, it's a London derby, and Chelsea always get up for it. And these games, they tend to open up Chelsea and Tottenham. So
well, this is what makes, and this is what really separates the Premier League from every other league in the world. And this is probably why England does so bad in Europe, is that you play so many extra games this time of year.
Yeah,
this is like the heaviest part of the schedule. Everything lightens up for most teams in February. Because that's when you're not playing FA games, if you depending on how deep you go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have Europe competition. But this is like, this is why I think England falls so behind everybody else later in the year on the European stage, is because there's such an over amount of games this time of year.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Look at the likes of, I don't think Germany has any, they don't they, like, Germany and Spain, they don't really play at all during Christmas.
No.
They don't play at all.
No. So that's why Borussia Dortmund could have a turnaround.
Yeah. Hopefully.
18th place.
That's just tough. I think that lies a lot on Marco Reus and the fact that he can't stay healthy for more than two games.
Do you think he'd stay more healthy if he wasn't on a Borussia Dortmund? And I don't know much about the Bundesliga, and I'm not going to try to step out on a limb here and say, that's funny talking about Marco Reus, but I'm not going to step out on a limb here and say, you know, he's had to do it all for Borussia Dortmund in his time that he's healthy, so that's what's led to him, you know, not working out. I think the fact that they sell off a lot of their players hurt. Mario Götze, Robert Lewandowski, let's just send off half of your attack.
Yeah, the Bayern Munich Academy, right? Isn't
right.
that what they are?
I mean, they might as well be, yeah. and they want to consider it a derby. You might as well just hand them the win every year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's Reus being at Dortmund is why he's been injured so much. I think it's the fact that he prepared very hard for the World Cup and suffered a terrible ankle injury. Right. Apparently, there's a lot of rumors that he had a deal set in place to come to Arsenal. He was set in stone to come to Arsenal before the World Cup until he broke his ankle. And then that deal obviously collapsed because Arsenal have enough injury problems as it is. They're not going to take a risk on somebody who already has an injury history. So that's why Alexis Sanchez came in, so I'm not complaining at all. But, I mean, Reus, it's just been just terrible luck. And if you want to say that about Arsenal players, I don't think you can. I think Arsenal has a serious, serious problem when it comes to physios and health physios. I learned also that Chelsea has more health physios and trainers than they do coaches. And you just look at their quality, look at how big they are, you look at their physical fitness in every game.
It's the money of the game, though. That's the thing. It's, you know, you're not under this single entity program where there's a salary cap and stuff. If you have the owners that are willing to spend, if you have the investors that are willing to put in the cash, you know, it's like the old saying goes, you have to spend money to make money.
Do you think that there is performance enhancing drug problems in Premiership that are completely ignored?
Not anything that is so obvious that I would demand an investigation.
Yeah.
You know
I
what
agree
I mean?
With you in a
if,
sense. Yeah.
If there was something going on that was like, that guy's on steroids, you could just tell by looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a few guys, maybe three or four, that I could say that guy might be on steroids.
Ivanovic, maybe.
Well, I was just going to say in the Premiership, but if you wanted to put it in that perspective, in world football terms, I wouldn't say there's more than 10 guys that would look more than they should have. Now, there might be more than that's supposed to be going on. You know, Gareth Bale's legs shot up out of nowhere. Cristiano Ronaldo looks like he was sculpted. You know what I mean? He doesn't look like a human. Yeah. He looks like he was sculpted by Leonardo da Vinci in the Sicily, whatever it is. No.
Messi just came from a little boy to a grown-ass man all of a sudden.
You know? I mean, there are these supplements, all right? You know, let's call them what they are. There's protein. There's HGH. There's
creatine and all that other junk.
I'm still sick. I'm sorry. I apologize to the
people. Yeah, we both got kind of sick on Saturday.
We both got kind of sick Saturday, and we're not going to get into Saturday because we were both very, very silly.
Had to celebrate.
I was going to use another bad word there, but silly was my safe word. I would say that there is a long line of unapproved FDA products that are readily available over your counter that you go to a GNC for that you can take to make you look like a John Cena or a Cristiano Ronaldo or LeBron James or however the hell you freaking want to look. There are these programs out there that help you get to that point. Now it's on soccer, because we're going to keep it here in this perspective, on whether or not they want to investigate into it. If you're going to go down the road of how business is done in FIFA and the way that Sepp Blatter, who is probably going to get reelected for another term, does his monitoring of the world game, then they're probably not going to look into it.
No.
They're probably not going to care. You know why? Cha-ching, cha-ching. They keep on racking in the dough.
In all honesty, I think the competition's still there, too, though. It's not like you said, there's nobody that sticks out enough. Unless for some reason, Chelsea remains invincible and wins out the rest of the season, which I honestly...
I don't think they will.
I don't think they'll be going undefeated.
I think they don't lose at home. I think, you know, Jose Mourinho could easily just win at home with the lineup that he has. I think Thibaut Courtois is untouchable in Stamford Bridge. I think he's going to be a very, very big problem over the next couple of years. And we got Craig Ford coming up in a couple of minutes. And, I know we have so much to talk about with MLS Cup Finals, but, you know...
We're saving it for now.
We're saving it for Craig. Courtois is just a monster back there, and there's just a presence that lies that says to me, okay, they're good from the back all the way up front, and it doesn't matter who's up front for them as long as they're solidified in the back. And to be honest, I don't think they're going to be hurting in the back anytime soon, even when Terry goes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like John Terry has been great ever since they've put great players in front of him. I mean, John Terry was so successful during the early years of Chelsea because Claude Makélélé was a world-class holding midfielder. And that's what made John Terry look great, because he also had Ricardo Carvalho next to him as well, who was also a world-class defender too. So John Terry, I'm always one to say that Terry is a bit overrated. I still have respect that he is obviously a world-class defender, but not as much as people think that he is. I still think that there's better defenders out there. I think Lauren Koscielny could become a better defender than him if he stays healthy. But, I mean... John Terry is also a big a-hole. You bang your own teammate's wife. You got to be kidding me.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
Poor Wayne Bridge.
Well, real quick, yes or no, if you had to say today, is Chelsea in the driver's seat?
Yes, absolutely. But right behind them is Man City.
Without a doubt?
Without a doubt. And behind them is Man United. They just need to improve defensively for Man United. That's the one little thing for them. But... United could be a really dark horse in this, so who knows?
We promised Craig Ford, Cam, and we deliver Craig Ford. Joining us now on the Allied Healthcare Expert Hotline is none other than, by the way, newfound internet sensation of MLSsoccer.com, Craig Ford. That's F-O-R-D-E. We remind you every show that it's F-O-R-D-E because there's a proper way to spell this. He's not related to the guy that owns the car company that his football team was on Thanksgiving this past Thursday and actually won for a change. No, it's Craig Ford, internet sensation, who joins us now on the Pitch Invaders podcast and the Allied Healthcare Guest Expert Hotline. Craig Ford, hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we today?
That's a long-winded open. You earned that open, by the way. You absolutely 120% earned that open.
Hardly. Come on. You're making me blush over here.
Can we just talk about the fact that you're an internet sensation first, and the fact you're representing this region so well and making the rest of us look so bad?
I wish I could do more, I assure you, but you know, I do it with what they allow me to, and you know, we go from there. And then you guys allow me to do just a little bit more so that I can, you know, put myself up as much as possible here.
I think you've had more articles on MLSsoccer.com up recently on the front pages than Simon Borg.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing, too. I mean, who would you rather be reading at this point in the season, me or a revolution basher like Simon Borg?
I always wanted to read Craig Ford anyway, so I was always going there first. Your last article, one of your articles actually that was up there during your long tenure on the MLSsoccer.com board was the attendance and how they were expecting record numbers at Gillette. We talked about it yesterday on the show with Feldman, that it was a great turnout. It was amazing. Initially, just to open up this interview here formally, what are your thoughts on the events that have taken place at Gillette recently?
Yeah, it's been absolutely special to be a part of, especially going back to the final two regular season home games and the two postseason games, all of them over 20,000, two of them over 30,000. Absolutely spectacular. Heading into this season, they had, I think it was only two other games, standalone games, that were over 30,000 in attendance, and they were both against L.A., and these were against Toronto and New York. So it's a fantastic sign of the times for the organization, for the game itself in this region. And, you know, I think now's the time to pounce on that stadium deal. When business is booming like this, you have to take advantage of it. You have to take advantage of the Dwayne Jones factor, the Lee Wynn factor, and ride this thing. You know, it's prime pickings for the soccer-specific stadium right now. That's a perfect sign of it, that the sport is alive, it's healthy, and it's blossoming right here in New England. It's fantastic to watch.
Craig, I was able to scan through and read your article today, and Chris Tierney talked about the attacking three of Keane, Donovan, and Zardes and how they're a nightmare to handle.
Yeah.
How do you think they will factor in into the home field advantage as well? How will New England be able to handle this nightmare of an attack, as they call it?
Yeah, you know, to a man, each guy talked about how difficult it's going to be. And, you know, when you have three guys like that, New York kind of had a three-headed attack themselves with Henri and Sam and BWP. Obviously, that changed with Cahill in there, but it wasn't, you know, much of a change. Cahill was pretty big factor in that second leg. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be much different. Obviously, I think that the level of what LA has is maybe a tick higher than that, you know, minus the Henri factor. But it's going to take, I think, a lot of what you saw in that second leg against New York, a lot of that bend but don't break aspect of the defense. You know, they're going to get their chances. You just got to make sure you limit them. One thing Tierney also touched on was keeping Keane's chances within the penalty area to a minimum, an absolute minimum, or just, you know, erase that altogether. That's a key factor for them is to get Keane out of that box as much as they can. Use their big bodies. Use Gonzalez and get Soares in there to bang them around a little bit. Keane's a tough competitor. I think, you know, you look at Landon for what he is, but obviously Keane is probably going to be named the MVP any minute now, and he's really carried that team on his back this year at a lot of points when Landon wasn't available. So, you know, I think it starts with Keane trying to push him out of areas where he's super comfortable in getting a ball on net, which is, you know, a lot of times this year been for pay dirt. So it's going to take a lot, but, you know, they're still hashing out the game plan. They have a few more days to do so, and I think once they get in the sun, maybe they'll help clear their minds a little bit of this nightmare that they're looking at in front of them.
Or the nightmare that we're looking outside these windows today. It's absolutely dreadful out. Fog, mist, rain, mixed snow. It's ugly.
It is ugly.
Speaking of ugly, look at the numbers that LA has put up this year, and it's not ugly for them. It's ugly for East Coast teams specifically who've had to go over to the StubHub Center in LA. Undefeated this year at home against Eastern Conference opponents. Now, it's a little bit different when they went on the road this year, but at home, they were just so dominant and so good. They've been so deadly at home during the playoffs, knocking around Real Salt Lake and then handling Seattle, I thought, very well at home. Seattle was the last team to beat LA in LA. What is it going to take for, is it a bigger, you know, mental game, you think, for LA, the fact that they have the advantage over Eastern Conference opponents at home, or is it going to be more of a hill for New England to climb?
And obviously a great point. That mark against Eastern Conference foes at home is jaw-dropping. And it's frightening when you're the Eastern Conference champion going there to try and win a title. know, but I think it's more of an uphill thing for New England at this point. I think LA would probably be cool, calm, and relaxed. The only thing I can see throwing them off a bit will be all the Landon talk heading into this game. That's something that might take away from a lot of what they do. But, you know, ultimately with Bruce Arena there and the veterans they have, it's not going to be a major factor. So, you know, I'm not sure how the Revs can for that hill. It's going to take a lot, especially when, you know, a lot hasn't been said about LA's defense. Those guys are spectacular back there, and then Nat Pinto has been fantastic in this postseason. He's only allowed 2 goals. He had 3 clean sheets to start the postseason off. So, you know, they got to find a way to work their attack. As much as everyone's worrying about what LA is going to bring on the offensive side of the ball, what can New England bring? Especially, you know, we haven't seen the best out of them the past couple of games. That New York series, they were far from their best. And Wynn was shut down, so maybe now there's a blueprint for that, you know, LA is going to look at and implement. So lots to look at in this one. Offensively, I think it is for me at least is how is New England going to get rolling with that back line of LA and with the keeper that they have.
Craig, question here: do you think Kellen Rowe gets inserted back into the starting 11, or does Jay go back to the option that he went with the second leg against New York, which was very successful, actually, with pushing Tierney up and inserting Alston?
Yeah, and Jay, you know, I think Jay was pretty psyched that worked in his favor. I know he said it was a hard decision for him to make. He wanted to keep Kellen in there for the offensive aspect of his game. But, you know, they all talked about Alston being able to lock things down on that side against Sam and with Tierney's help over there. I think that the thing you got to look at it is Tierney's play in the midfield, especially, and how much that paid off. And I think it was the second goal that he had set up coming in off the header of Davies, where, you know, he was in a position that he wouldn't have been in otherwise had he been back on defense. So I think if you're worrying about what Rowe can bring or what Rowe has brought this postseason, as opposed to what Tierney can bring, you might want to look at, you know, keeping Tierney in that position. And if you want to lock down that left side again, you know, I know Donovan will be on the other side of the field, so it'll be a little bit harder to figure out where you want to place these pieces. It's tricky.
It's complicated,
and, you know,
yeah.
Obviously, Jay's not going to tip his hand at this point.
Yeah, and also you got two different aspects. Because Kellen, of course, he's right foot dominant, he'll want to be cutting in and shooting more, whereas Tierney, you get the beautiful services that are so effective. That
he's a natural left foot.
Yeah.
He's a natural left foot.
For my money, I mean, just watching Tierney, like you just said, the services are a thing of beauty. And it might be a major factor in this game to be able to have that weapon right there coming in with the attack a bit closer than he would if he was, you know, trailing the play at left back. So, you know, what do you want? I guess is ultimately what it comes down to. For me, I'd want to have a guy out there who can place the ball perfectly like he did the last game. It was a thing of beauty to watch.
I mean, when he has an assist in almost every, he has an assist and he's contributed in every part of the series. So it means a lot, Cam.
Is Tierney the Leighton Baines of the MLS?
Good question. We shall see.
He's got it. Listen, I mean, he's got speed. He's got good tactical skill. He's got good IQ. He's got, you know what, the trust of his teammates, too. And you know what? The fact that he's gotten the trust of Jay, I think, you know, does it say a lot about Jay at this point that, you know, he has matured as a coach, that he knows and has the confidence in where to go to guys? And maybe his opinion is always not the right one, and he knows how to work in a idea that helps complement a. Do you know where I'm going down in this road here, Craig? Do you see where I'm trying to lead you to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, even this season alone, Jay's come a long way in you know, just choosing the right pieces at the right times. If you even look back at some of the lineups that he had going during that losing streak, it's into the ones that he's using now.
Zaire Sen was starting.
The 5-1 loss to L.A., the lineup was, you know, Mullins was up top, yep. And Soares was at the defensive mid because Dorman was out, and right. Barnes was right back. Farrell's in center back. Gerry Benson made an appearance in the game for the Love Scots. I mean, it was his last appearance in a Revs uniform till this point. But you know, there's a lot that Jay's done that's helped him mature, that's helped the team mature. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of confidence traded back and forth between the squad and the coaching staff. That's you know, it was something that needed to take time. They needed to go through a rough patch like they did in order for them to figure it all out and to all get on the same page. And, you know, I think Jay's done a fantastic job over this final stretch. You know, with or without Jones, I think the team had talent in place, obviously, to make a run. And you know, I think adding Jones helped him have a little more confidence in being able to do maybe more of what he wanted to do, because, you know, Jones kind of picks up the pieces in the interim.
Craig Ford, MLSsoccer.com, joining us for just a couple more minutes. All right, let's put up the coaching advantage. Bruce versus Jay, who do you got? I mean, you look at the tail of the tape. Bruce has got everything from NCAA titles to MLS titles to even and a couple of U.S. Trophies as well. Jay's got a lot of heart and a Coach K coaching background. So
yes.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Actually, I talked to him extensively about learning under Coach K, and he couldn't say enough about how that's molded him into the coach he is today. And I mean, you give me a guy who's learned under Coach K every day of the week, I'm going to take him. But when you put him up against a guy like Arena, who has the resume is endless. You can't compare the two, obviously. But you know, maybe on this particular day, it's Jay who gets the upper hand. It's one game is the thing that everyone's talking about, the players especially. It's just one game, so anything can happen on that game. And if Jay plays the right moves, pulls the right strings, has the right tactics in place, he could be better than Arena on the day that it counts the most.
I think New England fans, who like the Patriots, should know that story just a little bit well about what it's like to be better on the day against a specific team. It was a New York team that did it to the Patriots, though. We won't get into that.
Always with that, Tom.
I want to bring up one more before we let you go. A guy that I think you and I like a lot, and a guy that actually I think Jay Heaps sees himself through maybe a little bit, and that's Scott Caldwell, an unsung hero in this playoffs. How do you think he's going to tilt the game for the Revs Sunday night, and how can he continue to be in that important role where he doesn't stick out as much, but he does just enough to let Jermaine and Lee do what they do so well offensively?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point. He could be a big X factor in this game, whatever you want to, you know, however you want to determine what an X factor means. But for Scott in particular, he didn't play in that game back in July. He, you know, he wasn't as much a part of the lineup then as he is now. He's been an integral part of this team's success down the stretch, a bit unsung and finally getting his just due. You know, I've heard, I think Jermaine called him a pit bull and Jay called him a bulldog. I mean, he's tenacious out there. You talk to him, he's, you know, he's this nice, friendly, humble kid. And, you know, he gets out there and he allows Jermaine a lot more freedom to do what he wants to do moving forward with the attack. But also, in turn, Jermaine does the same for Scott. And you've seen Scott set up some big plays in postseason where you were never expecting him to do so. But defensively, in that midfield, especially against this attack, he could be the biggest factor in you know, making sure that ball doesn't get in deep. And that's what you want. You want to make sure that attack doesn't get in behind you, that attack doesn't get deep into the box. And Scott's obviously, you know, one of those guys that stands there guarding that gate to the back line, to Shuttleworth. And I think he could be a major factor in this game because of, you know, what he's capable of doing, getting into smaller spots where bigger guys can't, and attacking whoever. He's not afraid. The kid has, you know, no fear in his heart at all. For someone his size, he will go up and match up against anybody. And you know, it's proven to benefit the Revolution more than it much more than it hasn't this year. So he's definitely he's someone to keep an eye on.
You can't say enough about a kid like Scott Caldwell.
Absolutely.
And you know what? You can't say enough about a guy like Craig Ford, who you can catch all MLS Cup Finals long on MLSsoccer.com. And make sure you check out the YouTube videos as well, giving you an in-depth preview of what to expect from the New England Revolution. He's Craig Ford, and it's F-O-R-D-E, Craig_Ford, when you follow him on Twitter. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate being on here.
So you made a boo-boo.
Yeah, well...
What the hell, man?
I was clicking on NBC Live Extra. It says, watch now, Chelsea Tottenham. So I'm clicking in. It's like, oh, let me go on
Well,
SoccerNet.
Here's the thing. The beautiful thing about doing these podcasts is...
We can make mistakes.
We're not live.
Yeah.
So it's not like anybody really knew you were talking about a game.
Well, for all you know now, 2:45.
We were talking about it
London Derby.
Like 30 minutes ago. So we were talking about this at 1:45. I think, you know what, Craig... outlined everything for the Revolution perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I love the things that you could just say about a guy like Scott Caldwell. I gush over a guy like Scott Caldwell for three reasons. Hard worker, resilient as all hell, and to be honest, he has a story just as similar as Kellen's, but they play different roles. And one gets a little bit more spotlight than the other because of the offensive production that one does. But I just think the fact that Scott had to make a name for himself and that nothing was guaranteed with Scott and the fact that he proved Jay wrong, because I think Jay was the biggest enemy for Scott to overcome. Because
not so much enemy, but hump.
Yeah.
Because he needed to really prove to him, because right. Andy Dorman had his spot without a doubt.
Absolutely.
And then Dorman's injury obviously helped him too.
Open that door.
And then bang, Scott. And the best thing about what I like about Scott is that he's a native from Weymouth, Mass.
And you know what? Braintree.
Says Weymouth here.
Weymouth, he played high school there.
Place of birth, Weymouth.
Oh, place of birth.
Weymouth, yeah. That's okay. That's why I say Weymouth, like native. He's from. That's where you're born. Like, I'll consider myself, gotcha. Yeah.
We're making all mistakes today.
That's all right. But hey, one thing I also want to touch about.
I don't think Scott cares if I know where he lives or not, though. So
his dad's a great linesman, too. Had him for a few games. Great stuff. But the one thing I also want to touch about is the sentimental value for this game for Jay Heaps, who lost to Los Angeles Galaxy twice in the MLS Cup in 2002 and 2005.
Yeah.
In overtime. Both times.
Open wounds. One in a penalty kick.
Yeah.
1-0.
It was just... Actually, wait. I think the 2005 was... They're both goal scorers.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, no. What, there wasn't a penalty kick.
That was the Dynamo games where they
Dynamo
lost.
Games.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you got to do it for Jay. There's no other motivation but than to do it for your gaffer. So
yeah, I think and Jay was on the hot seat too. We talked about it a lot on this show. I felt like during the summertime.
Yeah.
That okay, Jay's. Could be out after this loss, or they could be getting inching Jay out after this loss, or he could.
Once we were at 7, we're like, what
are they going to do next? We were walking into Gillette, and it was a tense atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It was nobody feels good, nobody's happy. Don't look at anybody the wrong way. Go about your business. No, I'm serious, and I'm not trying to bash on. This wasn't a front office thing. This wasn't a coaching thing. This isn't a communications thing. I'm not trying to come at anybody. All I'm saying is that everybody knew that there was a lot of pressure to get something done after starting so hot, ending so hot in 2013. And having all this confidence and like, hey, we're not signing that designated player yet, but we're still got our key guys that we believe could get us to the top. And trust me, it's not just Jermaine freaking Jones that has put this team over. So they relied on their laurels. They stuck to their guns and eventually they had the splash for the cash and they did. And they got, the return to pay off in dividends and Jermaine Jones. And, you know, the story writes itself. But at one point we all said, that this could all end tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean...
For Jay, at least.
We could always say that. People will always say, I bet you especially LA fans are saying, you're nothing without Jermaine. Oh,
yeah, everybody is saying that, but they're not paying attention then.
Yeah.
And they don't really know what's going on,
because what Jermaine's done is, we say it again, he's amplified the people around him. He's gotten the people around him to play better. Look at a guy, like you say, Scott Caldwell. How else would he learn how to play that position?
Scott has been unreal.
How else would he learn how to play this position? than playing alongside the man who does it on the national level and was probably the best on our team at that point during the World Cup. He was probably our best player on our team, Jermaine Jones. So Scott Caldwell is just going to learn so much information and so much knowledge from a player like Jermaine. So, I mean, you can't just say Jermaine Jones is the sole reason why we're here. Why is MV Lee a thing, right? Lee Nguyen.
Somebody made that a thing.
Yeah, right? Lee Nguyen made that a thing because of his play.
Yeah, Lee Nguyen made that a thing. He did.
And that's the reason why he's on the All-Star ballot right now. So you can't just be telling me that Jermaine Jones is the sole reason why we're in this MLS Cup. We saw glimpses of greatness, too, before that 7-game losing streak when we had the 5-game losing streak and we smoked the Seattle Sounders 5-0 on our own turf. So, I mean, if anyone wants to have that argument that Jermaine Jones is the reason why we're in the Cup, I mean, I'd love to have that argument, but I mean, I can see why you would think, oh, yeah, just nothing without Jermaine, but Jermaine's just not the only reason why we're here. So please get that through your head. Charlie Davies came in through halfway through the season and helped us too. Four playoff goals.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to close the show with actually a quote from Charlie. But hey, LA fans, there you go. That's an education for you if you didn't know what was going on already.
Yeah. Welcome to New England.
Welcome to New England, kid. We've got clam chowder for days. If you don't want clam chowder, we'll give you a knuckle sandwich. I'll get the kids from Southie. We'll bring Mikey, Kyle, and all the rest of the kids from Squanum.
From Quincy, we'll bring them over.
We'll bring them over, kid. That was a New York accent, actually, a little bit right there.
Whoops. That's my mom's side speaking out.
New York side actually speaking out, yeah.
Right.
Anything else? No? Yes? Our new friends.
Do it for Jay. Yeah.
What's up?
Brandon, want to chime in?
Want to chime in on anything, Brandon?
For the game.
Why don't you step into a microphone?
Step up, take my
microphone.
We got Brendan Curry College.
We got a lot of Curry guys here. I don't know if you've noticed, but like a lot of the contingency on this show, me, Cam, Kev, Scooby, Kyle, who does voiceovers for us, there's a lot of Curry people here, so just get used to it.
Kind of pumped for the game. Well, actually, I'm really pumped. I was glad to be able to see my first Revs game, second leg against the Bulls. It was pretty exciting.
What did you think of the atmosphere?
It was crazy. A lot bigger turnout than I expected. You know, you see a lot of people going to Revs games. You don't see too many people in the stands, but it was great to see. A lot of people came out, and I was excited to be there. You know, great atmosphere.
You sound excited.
I am excited.
Put a smile. Like, you're not even looking at me like any enjoyment right now.
Internally, I'm very excited, believe me. Internally, I don't show it as much, but I am pumped, believe me.
What would a title do for this area, you think? What would it do for, because you're what, 18 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would a title do for kids your generation?
A title would be incredible. A lot of my friends back home, who we all watch soccer together, they're all Revs fans. It would just change everything, not just for us, but, you know, for the entire New England community. It's bringing up soccer. It would definitely help soccer in this environment. You know, rumors about...
Big soccer fan? Oh, sorry, no, go ahead.
You know, rumors of the new stadium of 93, I think that would definitely, you know, bring soccer closer to the capital, which would get more people to come to the games, you know, just more excitement overall.
Yeah. The stadium is huge, and if we win this cup, it's coming in the next five years.
It's coming.
It's coming.
You know what? We're just gonna sit back and laugh. You know, we knew it was here. You know, we've been doing this. Okay, we'll say we've been actually doing the podcast for a year now.
All yeah,
right? that's what it'll be a year in about 3 weeks. Okay,
yeah.
Podcast officially a year now, but we've been following this team for about 4 or 5 years now, and been watching this league. Most of us. Since its inception, most of us who appear on this show, and you know who the casual characters are. I would say, though, that with that, because we're wrapping up here, and we got coverage tomorrow and Friday as well. Just to have a different feel, and to have guys like Craig Ford being exposed more the way they are, and more people having their say out there, and you hear 98.5 The Sports Hub doing the coverage, and you hear Dale Arnold and Michael Holly talking, you hear Felger talking, you hear Feldman ranting on our show yesterday. It means something.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Shaughnessys of the world that want to go out there and try to tell us that we don't mean anything, and you know, well, you know, your time will come in 20 years when your kids come around. We're here right now.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can warm the duck boats for us.
Warm the duck boats up. We're not going through Foxborough on this parade. We're going straight down Boylston.
That's what we want to be.
All right. Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks a bunch. Thanks for having me.
Say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. Go Revs.
There you go.
There
He's in. There we go. He's a Barcelona fan. I don't know how
other people are going to feel about that. I know Will's going to be happy. Will's happy with his Barca stuff. Bam Cartley. Follow him on Twitter, at Bam Cartley. His real name is at Cam Bartley. Follow the show on Twitter, at Podcast Invaders. We'll see you tomorrow with Kobe Jones. That's right, baby. Kobe Jones.
It means so much. I mean, I feel like...
Oh, by the way, yeah, I completely forgot. Yeah, we're going to play this Charlie Davies clip on the way out. So here's Charlie just speaking real quick on what winning a MLS Cup would mean from earlier today's press conference. It's pretty much everything that Brendan and Cam were saying. So hope you enjoy, and we'll see you tomorrow with Kobe.
It means so much. I mean, I feel like it would legitimize soccer in New England, not only in New England, but in Boston specifically. You know, I feel like Boston's a really tough town to kind of break into the mainstream sports. And you know, you have the Red Sox and you have the Celtics, you have the Patriots, you know, and I feel like those are, and the Bruins. I mean, you feel like those teams are always being talked about, and I feel like a championship will finally be like, you know, make people realize, wow, we have a good team here, and, you know, this is a team that we should all be supporting and talking about, you know, and it would mean so much to me to be on the team that finally did it, you know, and along with that comes, you know, perks, maybe a new stadium and you know, more fans and obviously more revenue for the club. So it'd be an amazing accomplishment to be able to do that. I think we all know that as well, but at the same time, we still want to go in like we have the past, you know, 2 months with a chip on our shoulder, because I still feel like people aren't giving us enough credit for the team that we are and the way that we play. So we're going to continue to have that and be ready for Sunday.